Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
My Father's house shall be called what? A house of prayer. Does anybody here this morning need a healing? If you need a healing, raise your hand. If you're around them, put your hands on them and believe God. I want us to pray as we're praying for healing. Our brother Joseph Shulam in Jerusalem is facing some health issues right now. And let's do this. You know, you never have to do this, but the Bible teaches us when you pray, it's best to pray towards Jerusalem. And I think that'd be a good thing to do right now. Jerusalem would be to our east, would it be correct? And so lift your hands that way. Father, we thank you that you're a God of miracles. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Whether you're here in Dallas, around the world, in Jerusalem, we bind the spirit of infirmity. Father, we release the miracle healing of the blood of Jesus, and we declare by his stripes we're already healed. Father, we thank you for miracle healing. We thank you for divine wisdom on every doctor and every nurse that's involved with our lives and with the lives of Joseph and the lives of people around the world. We bind the spirit of sickness. We bind the spirit of infirmity. You said whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And if you be for us, nothing can stand against us. No weapon formed against us will grow or prosper. We walk in victory. We walk in miracle power of the name that's above every name and by the seven places that Jesus shed his blood. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for miracles in Jesus' name. And all God's people shouted, amen. Give the Lord a clap offering and thank him for the miracle power. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. And as you're turning there, I want to say this so it goes on the recording. How do I get a message from God? How do I decide on what I'm going to teach? And the way I do it is, and I don't mean to say this in a light manner, is I believe I have drawers full of sermons, but I never pull them out. Now, I may teach something similar on Passover or Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or Sukkot because or Purim, because those are messages for that day. But when it comes to teaching you on a weekly basis, and I know that Luke and Wanderson and all them do that in the family worship service that follows this, we hear from God. There's a difference between a sermon and a message. I believe a message is something that is a word in due season. It's a word that is not logos, but it's rhema. It's a living word. And so when I felt the Lord speak to me, matter of fact, I was standing there, we were worshiping, and my hands were lifted up, and God spoke to me, and he said, teach on the steps of a righteous man. So when I get this direction, I then begin to go and study this. And when I begin to study what God means when he talks about a righteous person, to be honest with you, it just thrilled me. Because there is so much that's involved with what God is saying to us in the steps of a righteous man. Now, I know most of you know this, but just to lay the foundation before we read the scripture, David is the one that's writing this teaching. And David is writing this teaching as an older man. So he's writing this teaching as one who has failed, one who has succeeded, one who has fallen, one who has seen the victories of God, the miracle hand of God. And so when he's writing this, you know, sometimes we hear a scripture so much, it's just kind of words. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And it's said so much that it's kind of like a Hail Mary full of grace. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. But here David, who our Lord and Savior came from his bloodline, is giving us incredible revelation. I pray that you take time this week to read all of Psalms 37. But I want you to hear the words of a man who is just not saying something cute. He's giving you a lifelong lesson. Read with me in Psalms 37. Let's start with verse 23. The steps, now in a lot of English it says good man, but the original word is the word righteous, tzaddik. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Now, let me stop right there. That should be enough to say God delights in what a righteous man does. And when we say man, he's talking about mankind, male and female. And he says, and when a man or a woman is a righteous person, even if they fall, if they trip, if they stumble, if they get knocked down by the enemy, they won't be cast aside, they won't be defeated. That right there ought to say, I want to find out what a righteous man is. Because if I'm a righteous man, the devil may knock me down, maybe I trip and fall, maybe I blow it somewhere along the line, but God will still make sure I finish my course. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. So we're not just talking about a righteous man. Well, I'm going to be a righteous man. I'm going to be a righteous woman, so I'm blessed. When we understand what God is saying about being a righteous man or a righteous woman, it releases, it breaks generational curses, and it releases generational blessings. Amen. The word righteous in Hebrew is the word tzaddik. In Genesis chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, this is the first place that God uses. This is the Avos. This is the father of all usage of the word tzaddik, righteous. And God is talking about Noah. And it says Noah was a righteous man in his generation. Now, we could teach for a month on that, but let me put it to you the way God is saying it to you today as a message. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what they're showing on television. It doesn't matter the way other people are living. It doesn't matter. And I almost asked them to keep the youth in here today. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing in school. It doesn't matter the way everybody else talks. It doesn't matter on anything else. We are to be, in whatever generation we are in, we are to be righteous people. Amen. You know, I was going to end with this, but I feel like I need to put it in right here. I was going to end the message with this morning. The Bible says that we are clothed in a robe of righteousness. Amen. We are clothed in a robe of righteousness. But God doesn't alter the robe to fit the generation. God alters the generation to fit the robe. So it doesn't matter. Well, you know, let me see if your dad hung out with my dad. If everybody else is jumping off a bridge, Are you jumping too? But Dad, everybody else is doing it. I don't care whatever. And this is what God is saying here, and you're going to see this. Doesn't matter what this generation. We're in the generation as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. I have a very good friend of mine that I haven't seen for several years, but he's a pastor of a fairly large church. And he made a statement from the pulpit, and he said, you know what? Homosexuality and lesbianism and all these things, come on. It's the 2000s. Listen, I'm not against a homosexual or a lesbian. I'm not against an adulterer. I'm not against the drug addict. I'm not against, but Jesus said, go and sin no more unless you're in a different generation. God doesn't alter the robe of righteousness to fit the man. God alters the man to fit the robe. That's not hate speech. And you've got to understand, this is in many political circles, when they're talking about socialism and they're talking about hate speech, their plan is to that we as pastors need to every month give what we're going to speak on, and we will not be allowed to speak on certain things because we are a different generation. The Bible says that Noah was a righteous man in his generation. In Genesis 18:19, it says they kept the way of the Lord, his righteousness, and his justice. If you remember when God spoke to Abraham and they were dealing with the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham says, if there were 50 righteous, would you spare the city? Now, I'm not going to get into this on this week, and maybe I'll try to get in this teaching. But God says that if he has 50 people that will remain righteous, he'll spare a city. I want you to realize how important that is. Because the enemy just wants us to flow along with the way the world goes. Listen, I walked in a sinner. I walked in a sinner. I got saved by grace. I went out and celebrated by sinning, being saved by grace. I knew nothing about the Bible. But the Bible says, he that knows to do right and does not, to him that's sin. So we need to understand that righteousness, and you're going to see that there are basically three main components to being a righteous person. But one of them is being a righteous person. Proverbs 10:25 says that when the storm passes through, the wicked will be swept away, but the righteous are an everlasting foundation. The word righteous literally means the steps of a righteous man. The word righteous means under God's spiritual protection. The word righteous means covered by his image. It means covered by his shadow. Ancient Jewish wisdom says it's not so much what we're doing on the outside as much as what we are on the inside. And I'm going to get in this a little bit. You can be a moral person but be unrighteous. You can be a holy person on the outside, but on the inside, still be unrighteous. Jesus said, you're like a whited sepulcher. You're doing everything right on the outside, but the inside is full of corruption. Let me give you an example. I wouldn't cuss, smoke, or chew, or go out with those who do. I wouldn't smoke a cigarette with your lips, but I will gossip. I will murder someone's character with my tongue. So righteousness, boy, God, you were shouting for when we were fornicators, kill them, God. Homosexuals, judgment. Lesbians, oh God, gossipers, no habla English. In the Hebrew alphabet, the 18th letter is the letter righteousness, the deek. The 18th letter in the Hebrew alphabet is the word chaim. Lach. Chaim. So the 18th letter in the Hebrew alphabet is the numerical value for life. The 18th letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is tzaddik, its numerical value is 90, which is the root for divine image. Amen. So when we're talking about a righteous person, number one, when we are a righteous person, we're going to explain all what this means. When we're a righteous person, we are moving into God's destiny of a great life. And when we are a righteous person, we are a person that is walking or developing ourselves into a divine image. Now, I got to say this, and I got to... Righteousness is not man-made righteousness. Righteousness is what the Word of God says. Jesus himself said, you bind men up with heavy burdens. You put these heavy things on men that didn't come from God. And you're locking up the kingdom to others. Now, let me say this. There are a lot of man-made things that we call righteousness. You know, when I first got saved, there was a group God loved people. I mean, God loves everybody. You know, the Bible says he winks at our folly. Sometimes I don't think he winks. I think he flinches. But we had people in our area, and God loved them. They loved God, but they wore big, women couldn't cut their hair, and they wore big buns on their heads and couldn't wear makeup. And please, ladies, wear makeup. We like you looking beautiful. Women can't wear slacks and can't wear jewelry. And all these things. These are not God teachings. These are man teachings. Now, I'm going to say this. I haven't said this in a long time because I always get in trouble. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you can't smoke. You ought not smoke. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. There's nowhere in the Bible that says thou shalt not lighteth up Marlboroeth. Now, you ought not smoke. Say amen. Amen. You ought not smoke because even on the packs of cigarettes, it says, hey, stupid, these things will kill you. But they won't send you to hell. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you can't smoke. Well, but Pastor, the Bible says our body is the temple of the Lord. They ought to have that at McDonald's. Which I'm going to on my way home. Right? Right? Because, you know, eating that stuff is bad for us. But let me ask you, and I say this to make a point, and you, sometimes you have to go to extremes to make a point. What's holier? What would be holier? A person who smokes and I'm not coughing because I smoke, because I chew now. But a person who smokes, they smoke, but they're kind. Wouldn't you know, God would make me cough while I'm done. I need, where's my beer? Like I'm. A person who smokes, they smoke, but they're kind, they're loving, they're generous, they're forgiving, they're merciful, their neighbors love them, everybody at work loves them. But there's the other person who, bless God, I'm a child of God. I would never smoke a cigarette. These lips have never tasted anything unclean. But they're mean, they're nasty, they're gossiping, they're troublemakers, they're your mother-in-law. No, that's it. No. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's real righteousness. Now, don't go out and go, Pastor Huck preached a man. I don't know what he said, but he said it's okay to smoke. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there is a righteousness that we have from God that comes from the inside. Amen? And when we are truly godly, righteous kind of people, it leads us into life. What does it come down to? Well, you know, the word, the letter for in the Hebrew alphabet. Let me see how I can explain this. Do you want me to go this deep? Yes. The letter is the letter nun. It's a nun with a crown on it. It's a bent nun with a crown on it. It literally looks like a crown with a yod over it. And so what it means, long story short, is you look at the letter and it's talking about righteousness, and it's someone who is bowed but is crowned by the glory of God, and God's spirit is on that. A yod means the presence of God. So it literally is God, my life is not my own. It is bought with a price, and God crowns us with righteousness. How many know that there's nothing we can do to earn righteousness? It's we're clothed with it, but we're clothed with it and we're to put it on every day of our lives. Amen? Now, for the, how much time do we have? Okay. Instead of reading it, let me tell you this story. The first person, well, let's go to it. It's too good of a teaching. You got 10 minutes? Go with us to, where is this in my notes? Hold on, I'll find it. Genesis chapter 39. Remember when we talk about the avos, or the father of something, the beginning of something? When we see that, there's a tremendous lesson involved. If I were to ask you, let's take the Old Testament. You know, we've got Abraham, we've got Moses. Of all of those, if you were to, let me just say it for the sake of time. If you were to ask me, who is the one that God would consider righteous as our spiritual fathers? I would say Abraham or Moses. But the reality of it is that the only one in the Torah, in the first five books of Moses, that God names as a righteous person is Joseph. Now, this is a strange understanding. We know Joseph with the coat of many colors. We know Joseph was sold into slavery. But here we have the story of why is it God pinpoints Joseph as a righteous man. Read with me in for this. I know it's taking a little time, but Genesis chapter 39. Do you have it? Look at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. I've written on my scripture so much. The Lord was, does it say with Joseph? The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put in his hand. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he'd expected for the bread which he ate. And now here's the thing that all of us men can relate to. For Joseph was a handsome man, well built, and in appearance. Now, this sounds funny, but this is a very important thing. So Joseph tells his brothers about the coat of many colors. He gets thrown in the pit. He gets sold into slavery. He ends up in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's house is just blessed because of Joseph being there. And so he just gives Joseph, he said, run it. Take control of it. I trust you. Take control of it. But then the word of God says something funny. That Joseph was a muscular, handsome man. The reason that's in there is very significant. Joseph wasn't ugly. He wasn't hard to look at. He was smart. He was blessed. He was well built, and he was handsome. Now, this is very important, and all the men said,
amen.
Okay, go on. Now, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, casting longing eyes on Joseph, in other words, Joseph's doing his stuff, everything he does, and Potiphar's wife looks and goes, cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in the house than me, nor has he kept back anything from me. But you, because you are his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, I want you to see something here. And I'm taking a very long, great, great teaching. And he says to Potiphar's wife, listen, your husband has released everything in my hands. He has brought me from slavery into being the number one guy. Everything. I can do anything I want except touch you. And he doesn't say, how can I sin against him? He says, how can I sin against God? Now, let me show you something that's kind of interesting in that. You know that every Hebrew word and every Hebrew letter has a numerical value to it. I'm trying to say it in a simple way. It has a numerical value to it, but it also has every letter, every word or every group of words has a musical note to it. That's why you see in Hebrew a lot of times people say, Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech. They sing it or they chant it. When the Bible here says, it's called a trope, not that you need to know that. But when the Bible says here that when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, the Bible says Joseph refused her. The musical note on the word refused is the longest note in all the Hebrew language. In other words, it says he refused her. So what does that mean to you? More than once. He refused and refused and refused and refused and refused and refused and refused. He didn't refuse once or twice and then fall. He refused her every time, and the answer is, how could I do this? Because I've gone from slavery into the number one position, and God is the one that put me in there, and I know what God's word says. God's word says, you do not lie with another man's wife. Amen. And because he refused her and refused her, God said he is a righteous man. Now, there are some things in the Bible that are shades of gray. And when I mean shades of gray, sometimes they're okay, sometimes they're not okay. But it is never okay to fornicate. It is never okay to commit adultery. You never sleep with someone. I don't care what Hollywood shows. I don't care what television shows. I don't care what anything shows. Now listen, God's not a prude. The Song of Solomon is a book on sexual relationship between husband and wife. Some of you guys are taking notes. I'm going to go home and read the Bible tonight. I'm reading the Word. I'm a man of God. I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm reading the Bible. Don't bother me, honey. I'm reading the Bible. I know the game's on. I'm reading the Bible. Honey, do you know the Bible says? But it doesn't matter what this generation says. You do not have sexual relationship with anyone except your husband or except your wife. It doesn't matter if you're engaged. It doesn't matter if you're in love. And listen, until you put a ring on and say, I do, you don't. Oh, Pastor, what does a ring mean when we're in love? You're not in love, you're in heat. A ring is a sign of a commitment. A commitment not just for the moment, not just for the weekend, but a commitment of saying no, 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 until you say I do. Amen. Say amen and we'll know you who you are. See, that's why we're talking about righteousness. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction and death. It kills the blessing of God in your life. Joseph didn't realize by his refusing wrong sexual relationship that he would end up the number two man in the most powerful kingdom in the world and save not only his family, but the entire Jewish race. Amazing, huh? Let me go through this. I have about 12 minutes. The steps of a righteous man. Write this down. Number one, steps. What does it mean? The steps of a righteous man. The word steps in Hebrew, without getting into all the language, means the one that the way which one goes, the direction in which one takes. look at me. You're walking down the road and you come to a fork in the road. This fork takes you to cheating people, lying on a business deal, sleeping with someone you're not married to, or this fork in the road takes you to faithful to your husband, faithful to your wife, doing business honestly. Which fork should you take? The steps of God doesn't make you step. You make the step. And listen to me, it doesn't matter if you're one day old in the Lord or if you're 50 years in the Lord, you will come to forks in the road all the time. And what you have to do is decide, what does God's word say? What does God's word say? Which direction? I'm in a business deal. If I cheat a little bit, if I lie a little bit, if I scam a little bit, I'm going to make it a little bit more. You will for that moment, but you'll lose in the long run. I need a better amen than that. You can never steal as much as God wants you to give. Your flesh is asking you to, you know, do this. You're on a business trip. Your wife will never know. Maybe she won't know. Maybe Mr. Potiphar would never know. But God knows. Come on. Ancient Jewish wisdom says on steps, righteousness is not inherited. Righteousness is not an inherited human character, but it must be learned. That's why Jesus said, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, if there's none righteous, no, not one, how can the steps of a righteous man? You got to understand, we're not born righteous. We're born. Did you spill that milk? No. You're the only one in the whole room. Was it you? No. You got to teach your children, right? Amen. We're not born. You have to learn righteousness. You have to learn. That's why David wrote this. There was times that David, now listen what I'm telling you. There were times that David went the wrong road. He took the wrong fork in the road. And man, he paid for it. But he'd get his heart right, he'd come back to the fork and take the right fork. Why even go that way? If you do what you know God doesn't want you to do, it's going to end up bad. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not 5 years from now, but it'll end. If we cheat somebody, God keeps really good books. And we'll never get to where we're supposed to go. But if we do what's right, you know, one of the greatest compliments I ever got is we met this guy down in Haiti years and years and years ago, and we saw the kids need, and I said, well, we're going to build them an orphanage, and we're going to take care of them. He said, we had 20 pastors when the earthquake came, flew their jets in, came in and took, we're going to do this, we're going to raise money. He said, you know how many pastors, how much all those pastors together sent to take care of these kids? But he said, you're the only one. When you say you're going to do it, you do it. Amen. And you know, can I tell you, there's times that you feel, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for you. You feel the emotion. And then all of a sudden it's like, what did I say? Oh, come on. Don't look at me like that. Not me. I just float into the will of God. You know, there are times I go, did God really, you know, Lord, maybe you didn't mean $1 million. Maybe you meant 1 million pennies. What is righteousness? It's simply doing what's... Thank you.
Amen.
You know, I was going to do this, and I... Let me move on. Righteousness is not an inherited human character, but a learned trait. It's defeating the Adamic nature and developing the image of God. When I first came to church, my first time in church, I got saved. Hair down to here, earrings and needle marks. I went out and celebrated getting me and this girl, one of the girls I got saved, we went and picked our friend. We were celebrating being born again by buying a bag of dope and a bottle of wine. Oh, don't look at me like that. I didn't know any better. I'd never been in church. You know, we went and picked our friend up, and I go, you won't believe what happened to us today. She said, what? I said, we were born again. She said, you're not born again. I said, no, we are. Jesus died, and on the seventh day, he rose again. But it wasn't long afterwards that I realized I couldn't be born again, and wasn't the right fork.
Amen.
He's meddling now. He's meddling. Marijuana is a herb. No, it's a thorn or a thistle. Number one, steps means a course, a process, or a development. You know, when I first got saved, I didn't know how to live. But 40 years later, wouldn't it be kind of weird if I was still smoking dope to celebrate being born again? But not only that, I learned not to gossip. I learned not to backbite. I learned that Tiz is always right. I learned that I'm handsome and well-built. Number two, the steps of a righteous. Righteous simply means straight. It means upright. This is interesting. It means staying on the path. What's the path? Well, the Torah, the Word of God, and this is where we get it wrong. We call it legalism. The Torah, the Word of God, is called the path. So righteous is straight, upright, on the path. Interesting. Wicked is crooked, depart, and stray from the path. So it's easy. Stay on the path. What does the Word of God say? Can you pull up Psalms 23 real quick? Can you pull up Psalms 23? I don't know if we're able to do that. Just Psalms 23 says what? The Lord is my
shepherd.
I shall not
want.
Go on down next one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Just leave it there. He leads me beside still waters. When you're reading the Word of God, not only do we have to read it in its language, but we have to read it in the time in which it was written. When this is written, the Jewish people were basically nomadic traveling people. They were shepherds, and they would take their sheep through the wilderness from waterhole to waterhole, from grazing pasture to grazing pasture, and they would follow trails, ancient paths, because if you've ever seen Lawrence of Arabia, you ever see the movie Lawrence of Arabia? If you can't find the water, what happens? You can't just go, I'm just going to go this way. You got to follow the ancient paths and not deviate from them, or you'll die. And so when it says righteous means staying on the path, the Lord is my shepherd. Here's the simple thing. The sheep, when the shepherd is leading the sheep go, yeah. This is what I want you to do. Yeah. The goats go, yeah, but. And if you get on the, off the path, you die. No living water. No pastures to graze on. He's not a badge. He's not, get over there and live. Get over there and be happy. Get over there and be prosperous. Come on. And the sheep know the shepherd's voice. They trust him. You know, we used to live in Oregon, and we'd hear all the time of people dying in the wilderness. And the reason they die in the wilderness, take a wild guess why they die. Got off the path. You walk them through the mountains, the trails and everything, and there are signs. Stay on the path. But somebody always thinks, I'm going to take a shortcut. I want to be happy, and I'm not going to follow this path back to the lodge where there's a warm fire and cocoa and hot dogs. I'm taking a shortcut my way. Helicopters trying to find you. Maybe you got off the path today. Get back on the path. The Holy Spirit is trying to find you. How many have ever taken a shortcut and go, oh, why did I do this? You have GPS. Is it called GPS? Is that what it is? GPS in your car. How do we live without GPS? I mean to tell you, Dunkin' Donuts, you can find it right away. Just lead you right into it. Otherwise, you're driving around, driving around, driving around. That's the word of God. The word. How many want prosperity? Amen. Tithe. Amen. I think I'll do it a shortcut way. How many want joy? Amen. Be kind to people. Amen. How many want the blessing of God? Amen. Don't gossip. Amen. No blessing. I think the way that I get joy is I tear everybody else down because that'll make me feel bigger. Not the way it works. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay on the path. Let me close with it. You know, and you know, let me throw, I have 5 minutes. Let me throw, I got one more. I don't know what the path is. The Ten Commandments is a good way to start. I don't know if you've ever go skiing, and Tiz is a skier, and you have like, what's the beginner slope? It's like a square or something. Huh? The bunny slope. Start on the bunny slope. You ever see, you know, the new Christian, they're on the rope line. You ever watch those? We love to watch those people get on the rope line and fall, and they're all piling up on top of each other. The reason why they're on the bunny slope is so you don't get killed. But then you get to the black diamond or something, you know. First time I ever went skiing, this friend of mine, Tiz and I just got married. We're in Flagstaff, Arizona. And this friend of mine from Phoenix goes, hey, Tiz was like expert skier. Snow skier. He goes, can Tiz take a skiing? I said, okay. So, you know, I said, I'm staying with her. You know, I couldn't even get on the chair. The heck's going on out here? I'm not joking. 6 hours later, you know, we'd made it down like 3 or 4 times. 6 hours later, we run into my friend. Am I joking? He's got a down coat, down's pouring out. He's got a bloody nose, a fat lip, one broken pole. I said, man, how many times you been down? He said, I just got down. 6 hours. He should have stayed with the instructor. That's what happens to us. You know, we finally make it down, our jackets are ripped, our pants are ripped, our goggles are broken, our pole's broken, our lips are bloody. Stay with the instructor. Let me close with this. Steps, righteous, ordered. I don't have time to get into it. Maybe we'll do it next week. The word order, the root word of order, order. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. It means to establish, to ordain for success. He's got you on this path. How come I'm going this way? To succeed. There's a way to do your marriage. There's a way to do business. There's a way to run your life. There's a way that seems right, but it ain't. But there is a way that God has that he will take you to success. God's word puts your life, I'm jumping through a bunch of stuff, in order. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God's word puts your life, when you follow it, in order. It's like a, God's word, it's like a, I'm trying to say it the way it said it in Hebrew. It's like an officer in the military. And he says, bring me that truck. You don't go, I don't feel like it. When the general says, bring me that truck, that's an order. When you say to your kids, go brush your teeth, it's not a suggestion. It's not the 10 suggestions. When God says, have no other God before me, that means no other God. It means no other God ever. Doesn't just mean, well, I got rid of Baal. Krishna's out of my house. Well, is there anything that keeps you from serving God? Get rid of it. I'll do this next week. I've got this thing called the Cowboys' Ten Commandments. Don't go after another fella's gal. These are orders. These orders are to put our life in order. And you know what? A child doesn't know why it has to brush its teeth. The one above that child should know enough to make that child brush its teeth. We got to go. We got 13 seconds. Stand with me all over the building. Years ago, I had a couple when we were pastoring in Portland. I had this couple. They were really weird people. They were very weird people. And they had three really weird kids. And after church, they came in and said, Pastor, we'd like to talk to you about something. And I said, okay, okay. And let's see. I got to remember I'm on television. And so they came back, and we were going to do something in the church. It was something silly like changing the carpet or something. I mean, it was nothing. And so they said, I noticed we changed the carpet. And I said, yeah. Well, why'd you pick that color? And so I didn't. Tiz did, and she's better at that than I am. Well, how come we didn't vote? I said, why would we vote? I said, we have 5,000 people in there. We'd get 30 different colors, and everybody would be upset and everything. And they said, well, we should vote. You should never make any decision. We should vote. And I'm just... And they just wouldn't leave it alone. Finally, they said, in our family... And their kids were like 12 and 13 and 15, and they're all like... And they said, in our family, we vote on everything. I said, that's why your family's so weird. You don't vote with your 8-year-old. Let's vote on what we have for dinner. Cotton candy. Tootsie Rolls. soda pop. No, a parent says, you know what? You really need to eat those green beans. You really do need to brush your teeth. You really need to go to bed. I'm not tired. Because if we're in charge, we're supposed to know better. Right? No voting. What time would you like to go to bed? Never. That's him. When he gives us the Ten Commandments, they're not just suggestions. They're actually not even called commandments. They're called utterances. In Hebrew, they're called the Ten Utterances. Here's the way to have a good life. The steps of a righteous man. When we follow God's word, it's not difficult. When we follow God's word, he puts our life in line for success. In our home, our marriage, our life, our business, the other, everything else, because he cares about us. Amen? Number one, just decide. God, you're the shepherd. And whatever you say to do, I'm going to do it. How many think that's a good idea? Amen. Father, bless us today. Bless us all in this building. Bless us all that are watching, all of our stream family around the world. And Father, I declare that if we've gotten off the wrong fork in the road, today bring us back. We make a decision to get back on the path. We're tired of being lost. We're ready for the cocoa and the hot dogs and the warm fire, because you have ordained us to be successful. How many glad God has ordained us to be successful?